This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The word fintech has been a buzzword throughout Southeast Asia as investors and VCs and even fundings seem to be capitalizing on this explosion in the startup space. Talent, however, is scarce, and I'm here today with Michelle Kadex. She's the co-founder and the CEO of Portfolio Quest. Who are they? Well, let's find out. Michelle, thank you very much for spending some time and being on the show with us today. Let's talk about Portfolio Quest. I understand it's a very interesting story of how it all started up. But first, I guess, you know, what is Portfolio Quest and what space do you play here in the fintech industry?
Thanks, Jeff. Portfolio Quest, you could think of it like a flight simulator, but for a banker. So if you were going to fly an airplane, I would really prefer if you practiced in the simulator first, rather than taking a multiple choice exam. So in banking, in the past, we've mainly used multiple choice exams and on-the-job learning. And the global financial crisis showed us that we really are a high-stakes industry. And we need to upskill the strategic skill sets, forecasting capabilities, et cetera. So we built what is basically the equivalent of a flight simulator, but for bankers.
Right. And how did this came about? Because right now, fintech is a buzzword, so I'm guessing that's, you know, the whole idea of trying to get you know, bankers or people who are interested in the, you know, the finance industry for the future. Fintech is the way to go. But Portfolio Quest started a while ago, before fintech became a buzzword. Tell me about that story.
Yeah, Portfolio Quest actually had humble beginnings in a rice paddy in Thailand. We were former bank executives, and we took some time off after we left right before the global financial crisis, and really thinking about how to fix some things we saw in the industry. So sitting in a rice paddy in Thailand, which you can't really complain about that. Right?
And it became fruitful in the sense where you have a product just by, you know, I guess probably brainstorming in a rice paddy field somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. We definitely had a couple more advantages than just the rice paddy, I admit. As from our work in the banking industry, we saw some limited usage of simulation, and I called up a professor in the U.S. who had designed some really rich algorithms. And I said, hey, this really works. People learn really fast. Could we really build this in a web application? And he was really pleased. He was just about retiring. So for him, it was kind of a life's work that we picked up and ran with.
Wow.
So he's been our advisor and a huge inspiration. And so we just built it ourselves. We bootstrapped. And our first client was in India, a lender there. And our second client was a large global bank. And then from there, we just started running these simulation workshops and having a great time.
And what was the problem that you were trying to solve in the early stages? This is, I'm guessing, when you mentioned the global financial crisis, the 2009-2010 financial crisis. So back then, this is like, you know, 6 years ago. What was the problem that you're trying to solve that, you know, made you, yep, this is a product that I can now bring to the market, and then you brought over to India?
The original problem that personally I had, when I say I'm an entrepreneur because I'm solving my own problem. You know, people always say those are the best startups. The danger is that you're only solving your own problem, right? You're wondering, okay, was it only my problem, or do a lot of people have this problem so that many people will buy it?
Yeah.
It does seem many people have the same problem. We were rolling out the Basel II capital requirements in banking, which are really complex. They're difficult to understand the impacts on the portfolio. So when I was in the bank, I was trying to teach people across different countries how to manage all these highly nonlinear capital requirement equations. And you can imagine, I show them the equation, which is, there's like, it involves like a square root of a normal distribution and blah, blah, blah. People just look at me and say, how am I supposed to manage the portfolio based on this crazy equation you're showing me?
Right.
And I said, hang on. Just sit tight. I'm just showing you the equation so you know what you're complying with for the regulators. Now let's fly the plane,
right?
Let's mess around with the portfolio. Let's test and learn. So people in the legacy workshops, they battle it out in teams against each other, and it's a blast. And they, in a couple of days in a workshop like that, people really learn a lot.
So that was version one, you would say, you know, the start of a Portfolio Quest. And then you mentioned India came about, your first customer. How did that came about? Because you were obviously trying this out in a paddy field somewhere in Thailand. How did India then sort of got word of what you guys are doing? doing?
Well, I have to give a shout out to all of our bank colleagues and friends around the world. You know, my banking career spanned countries all around the world. I was the director for FICO over a number of countries. And, you know, we just call up our friends and say, would this be helpful for you guys? Yeah. What do you think? What's your feedback? You know, those are really close colleagues and friends. So you don't, at that stage, you don't call up and try to sell them something. You say, actually, you do the opposite. You sell, tell me the three reasons why you would never buy this.
Yeah.
And you use that to learn, right? And then they, no, I want to buy it. You're like, oh, cool.
So what was the discussion like in terms of what was the problem your first customer had, and what was the unique point about Portfolio Quest that, you know, made everyone then sort of stood out and go like, hey, hang on a minute, this is something quite new in a very highly regulated industry where, you know, mistakes will be punished massively, billions of dollars in that sense.
Yeah, I think since 2012 in the classroom and now in Portfolio Quest version 2, the fully digital version, the problem is kind of the same, that in the past in banking, people did a lot of sort of manual, boring, repeatable jobs that were just adhering to policy and rules. And what's happening is we're automating that, which is fantastic, right? It makes it a lot easier to comply. We just make sure that, you know, the systems are following everything that we've laid out. But we have to upskill the people. Right? It's back to the airplane analogy. We're now building autopilot, which is great. Gives the pilot a rest. The autopilot does all the boring stuff.
Yeah.
So now we have to focus on training the pilot for the storm. Mm. Right? His value add is when you're in takeoff or landing or you hit a storm or something unexpected. So the use case for us that's been very common is collections and recovery management. And we upskill the folks who really create the strategies around calling customers who are behind on their payments. And not how you call them, right? There are other ways to do that. But how do you prioritize that? How do you create the right strategy so that you have a gentle strategy with your best customers, right? For the risky customers, what's the right timing to intervene a little bit more strongly?
Mm.
And they can practice that and then see the result immediately in the data. Right. So they have to really do that balancing act of keeping the customers of the bank happy, kind of, you know, at the right time, encouraging yeah. them, and then kind of getting tough with the risky ones. But practicing that, you know, it's muscle memory yeah. and looking for the result in the data.
Right? So how would a software or a solution work when, you know, predominantly it feels like it's a lot of, you know, the face-to-face communication or the trust that, you know, one would build to another because, you know, the visual element of a communication is very important. How does a software come in and sort of give or help you build that confidence in a way?
Yeah, I think the workshops versus the fully digital, they complement each other, but I think it is fundamentally a different experience, right? So in the classroom, there's a lot of teamwork and sharing with each other, etc. It's a very concentrated few-day experience. In the fully digital version, it is, you know, if you've played video games, there's leaderboards and badges and awards, and you still have that competition. So we see that the experience is just very different, where the user feedback is coming from that competitive spirit and getting those awards, etc. Now, we're experimenting with different ways to add kind of chat channels and, as we may say in slang, trash talk.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that's missing is, honestly, some of the trash talk when you're playing actually really fuels competition
yeah.
and it makes it really, really fun. But in a bank, we also have to be mindful that we can't just launch a chat channel because you have bank firewalls, etc. So we've been experimenting with other edtech solutions and collaborating with other companies who can provide complementary solutions that give us a full training and competency experience for those bank employees that isn't e-learning.
I'm speaking to Michelle Katix. He's the co-founder and also the CEO of Portfolio Quest. It's a digital simulation platform that's for a virtual training simulator for fintech leaders and bankers. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandu, and I'm speaking to Michelle Katix. She's the co-founder and also the CEO of Portfolio Quest. It's a digital simulation platform that's a virtual world training simulator for fintech leaders and bankers. Michelle, you've spoken about that. You know, this sort of happened in 2011, 2012, and things have changed a lot from then. When did you sort of stumble across the word fintech? And, you know, there's this buzz around this fintech word.
The fintech has been emerging. And for us, we were a little bit separate from it at the beginning, because we were just focused on working with our clients, right? We were building our global client base around the world. And if anything, people looked at us and said, well, maybe you're ed tech. We're not sure what you guys are, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in the sense that I'm not a payment system, right? I'm not a blockchain transaction solution. But what we realized is that when we looked at fintech, most of the solutions are products and platforms, right? Or products and processes. And I kept saying, yeah, but what about the people? So someone has to run this stuff. Hey, guys.
I keep telling people that, you know, that no matter what technology you have, it's only as good as the person using it. So,
Or designing it. Or configuring it. Yeah. Or programming all the parameters and monitoring that it's working properly, right? Yeah. And we kept highlighting that. And I think at the beginning, it was like, yeah, but we got to hurt. Let's just go, which is great. So we've seen all these solutions emerge. But it's been in the last year and a half, we've gotten quite involved. And something interesting happened is that because we were working with the banks on this transformation piece, right? When we first started, it was pure skills training, technical training. And now there's this whole transformation movement within the banks, right? Saying we're shedding some of our employees in those manual jobs, but we're realizing we have to upskill the remaining ones. Mm. How do we do that? And we have to transform to face the fintech challenges. So we started working with our clients doing, we do fintech workshops. So we gamify that.
Right.
We do
pitching contests. Tell me about that. Yeah, so tell me about this fintech contest and all you know, accelerator stuff.
Yeah, so for part of culture change, you have to encourage people to start to speak up about their ideas in the bank, right? So for example, you've got the guys in the back office. They're the ones who see the data every day. They're the ones who could spot the opportunities. So we do these workshops where we bring in folks from different parts of the bank, sometimes from the back office, who sometimes get a little bit left behind in the digital revolution because it's all the cool customer branch stuff, right? Customer experience. And we help them go through, here's all the technology out there. Here's all this cool new data like mobile and search and social. Let's come up with product ideas for the and new business models and ways to provide stuff for your customers. And we teach them to pitch it.
Oh.
Right? So how long would it take to build this? And what would you need? And what are the resources? And it's not their normal job, but they're the ones who have all the great ideas. And what you realize is that, oh, the banks aren't moving fast enough. What you realize is that once you draw out of people and they stop and really think about it, they have fantastic ideas.
And how long would these kind of programs run for, in a sense?
Those fintech workshops, we've been running them as a two-day workshop. And at the end, you end up with one sort of pitch per team, which is some great idea that they've had that specifically relates to their bank and their customers.
And what is your role in the sense when you create these kind of programs and these kind of modules that you come up with? Once the output is done, once you know the 48-hour bootcamp or accelerator program has been done, the output is there. There may be a solution that could be implemented immediately or it could take some work. What is your role after it has been done? Do you sort of follow up with the clients that you have in a way?
We do. It's ongoing. And I think Portfolio Quest really is the answer to the ongoing touch points. So Portfolio Quest is on demand. It's fully digital. So, for example, this collections issue I mentioned, right? Let's say people came to this boot camp to learn about collections management. Now they can go and play against each other, do a challenge straight away from their desk and manage a virtual portfolio and test out their strategies and their ideas and see where they are on the leaderboard. So that never ends, right? So they can go and keep practicing managing virtual portfolios. And I think for us, that was the last mile was building something truly scalable. Because while the fintech workshops are great, it's not very scalable.
Yeah.
And you worry, how fast can I move the needle 25 people at a time in a workshop? Whereas the fully digital simulation training,
it's endless.
Endless, right? Yeah. It's immediately scalable to everybody.
And who creates these modules or these programs? So because it's ever-changing, the tech space and the education has this problem where, you know, things are moving too fast that you can't seem to train people. By the time they get out of education or college or university, it's outdated in a sense, especially when it comes to technology, any parts of technology. The fintech space may be in a bit of a blessing because it's highly regulated. There are a lot of rules and regulations that it needs to comply with before you can sort of, you know, have a startup doing fintech in a way. So banks have that sort of leeway. But what's your role here in terms of, you know, trying to get the fintech word out?
In fact, what we teach in our traditional portfolio simulation tool, think of it more like the laws of gravity of lending, which are timeless since the beginning of time, right? So if you're too harsh on a good customer, they're going to leave your bank and go to another bank, right? If you don't be diligent about how you follow up with a customer to make sure they make timely payments, if you don't restructure them properly when they have an issue, the same thing will happen. So whether you're a fintech lender or a bank changing your business model, those sort of underlying laws of gravity still apply, right? So we can tweak all the parameters and change the deal sizes and change various things, but underneath it all, those still exist. So it's like teaching you the law of gravity with a baseball versus a basketball. Yeah, they both adhere to the law of gravity, each with slightly different parameters.
And it's a simulated world, so there isn't really that much of an effect. It's more of a trial and error when, go as crazy as you can, think as out of the box as you can in a way.
Exactly, and we encourage that. We actually watch the users when they're playing the fully digital version to watch their thought process.
Has there been anything interesting, any unique way of, people going through around gamification?
There is, and it's interesting because what we find is that, number one, even when users get feedback, even if it doesn't help them move up the leaderboard, they still respond to the feedback and get competitive about it, right? So we'll give them like quiz questions which don't help them move up the leaderboard, and they'll still, with all diligence, try to get 100% just because they want 100%, right? But it didn't help them on the leaderboard. So I'm like, oh, okay. But they really respond to that. And the other thing we see is this huge correlation between engagement and results, which I think is really important for anybody out there who says, gee, I don't know if I could learn something technical, or could I really learn to manage a giant credit card portfolio? Well, the data we see shows that if you're engaged and you're diligent and you follow best practices, you experiment, right? You test and learn. So the point is that with a good system like that where you can just experiment and say, I'm going to make a really risky credit card portfolio, just see what happens.
Right.
Okay, see what happens. Now you know where to look for it in the data and you know what adjustment to make. You can learn that. So I think that's a nice, encouraging result for anybody out there who says, wow, I really need to upskill. I know that my current job is sort of not going to be here in 5 years. The good news is, if you just stay really engaged, you can learn really complex things.
Is the digital simulator platform is something like the first of its kind in the fintech space for Portfolio Quest?
It's not the first of its kind. It's the first certainly in our space. We are collaborating with a number of other companies who are doing complementary things because we're pushing a paradigm change, right? We're pushing a paradigm change away from reading a book and taking multiple choice questions. We think that's not fit for purpose for the future workforce. Moving away from e-learning, where people click through and engagement's really low. And, other companies are doing things where even through mobile learning, there's a company in Singapore and the UK called SmartUp.io, and they create these micro-learning bites for people. So it's really suitable to user behavior. So even when you're commuting, you can pick up stuff and study up. Now we're seeing machine learning AI cognitive assessment systems.
Yeah.
Right? In Boston, there's a company called Authess. So by teaming up with these guys, there's a simulation company in Europe that does asset liability management simulation called SimArch. And there's a new company in Thailand called Ingenious Simulations. Mm-hmm. And they are doing business sims for the Thai market. So we're collaborating with them. So we're finding that by collaborating with each other, we really get to move things along more quickly.
Mm. And also because talent is a big issue when it comes to this side of the industry and the technical know-how of, solving things. And obviously, the crime, cyber crimes is on the rise and, they are obviously then highly regulated and there needs to be an upskill of skills, like you mentioned, because, jobs are being reduced in a sense. You get bots, you get chatbots running your customer service, you get humanized robots, fronting the customer service in Japan, for example. So jobs are being, lost out. So who is this for and how do you work with these target groups that you have?
In Malaysia specifically, we actually work with the Asian Banking School, and we both work directly with banks who then buy seat licenses for their employees. We also do that through the Asian Banking School. For those of you out there in the financial sector, we are planning an industry competition.
Mm.
So you could ask your bank, can I join in? And you can get yourself up on the industry leaderboard to see where you stack up against the other folks in the other banks. So we'll plan that for next quarter, which will be, I'm sure, a lot of fun because I think the industry here, people know each other across the bank, so kind of fun to have a little bit of a friendly competition.
And this will be happening in the second quarter of the year. Michelle, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Wish you all the best in here in Malaysia. I've been speaking to Michelle Katic. She's the co-founder and also the CEO of Portfolio Quest. It's a digital simulation platform that's a virtual world training simulator for leaders and bankers. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.